Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus stood before the governor, Pontius Pilate, who questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?" But he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner they wished. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them, "Which do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on a bench, his wife sent him a message, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They answered, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." But he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" They only shouted the louder, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood." "Look into it yourselves." And the whole people said in reply, "His blood be upon us and our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him of his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head a written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing were reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "You would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Save yourself if you were the Son of God and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him and said, "He saved others. He cannot save himself." "So he is the King of Israel? Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of the bystanders who heard it said, this one is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said, wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save him. But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil in the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus, feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said, truly, this was the Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I was reminded recently of something that happened to a former pastor of St. Paul's Parish in Hyde, just outside Manchester. As he left his house one Sunday morning to get to the church, he was shocked to find a dead donkey lying in his front yard of his house. He didn't have a donkey. He didn't know where this donkey was after coming from. And he didn't know what to do with it. So he called the local police station. Maybe the donkey had been stolen. Maybe somebody had phoned in to say it was missing. The local sergeant answered the phone and was quite amused by the account of this strangely appearing dead donkey. He told the priest that nobody had reported a missing donkey or a stolen one, and that it was of no interest to the police department. The pastor asked the sergeant, what am I to do with the animal? It doesn't belong to me. The sergeant replied, isn't it the duty of the clergy to look after the dead? To which the pastor replied, it is, but I just wanted to inform the next of kin. Today, we begin the religious drama we know as Holy Week. Palm Sunday can only be understood in the context of the next 7 days that follow. Palm Sunday is the preface to Christ's passion and also Christ's resurrection. It is a unique day in our church's year. It is a day when joyful music traditionally echoes around the church. Sadly, this year you cannot be here personally yourselves to join us, as you have in the past. Due to the coronavirus, our journey through Holy Week will have much of the same scenery that we expect, but we're traveling in a different vehicle. Thank God for live streaming. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he entered Jerusalem that day. He knew that passions would be stirred by his entrance into the holy city. He knew he would be completing the work of his earthly ministry. After 3 years of telling people to tell nobody who he was, now the time had come for the big reveal. Jesus was deliberately drawing attention to himself. He was finally publicly proclaiming himself King of Israel, the long-awaited Messiah. In doing this, he knew his actions would challenge the established order, both civilly and religiously. The religious Sanhedrin would certainly not tolerate him declaring and proclaiming himself the Messiah, and the Roman officials would not tolerate that he was a king. Surely a genuine rival to Caesar wouldn't have the nerve to arrive on a donkey. He would instead arrive on a chariot. Listen to the shouts of the crowd that are lining the streets, shouting Hosanna. Hosanna is an old Hebrew phrase that means, please save us. It's a cry for help. The crowds of people lining the streets of Jerusalem this day are shouting it joyfully. They had heard Jesus' teachings. Many of them had seen his miracles. This was clearly the right man to challenge the power of Rome and to restore the throne of King David. Hosanna, please save us. It's a haunting mantra. Since time began, there has been a pandemic affecting a vast population around our world. Thousands of children die each and every day from this well-known illness. The illness is called starvation. The cure is food. Sadly, the medicine is not readily available. The haunting shout, Hosanna, please save us, is a little bit more local today. The coronavirus is all over the news. Governments are scrambling to find a cure. Perhaps it's because this pandemic affects the rich too. We know that within days of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the mood moved from joy and hope to hate and hostility. Even his own disciples betrayed him, denied him, and ran away. Ironically, he never turned his back on any one of them. He came to save the most hostile and hateful, whether it be a thief on the cross or Judas Iscariot, who had betrayed him. How did we go from palm branches and parades to a crown of thorns and a cross? Today we are shouting and joining in shouting Hosanna in the middle of what are difficult times. We cry out in joy at the arrival of our Savior. We can be confident that our Savior will never turn his back on us, despite our faults, our infidelities, our selfishness. As followers of the way, we know that as events unfold this week, the passion and death leads to forgiveness, resurrection, and new life. Today we cry to God for help. Like our Savior humbly riding on a donkey, we acknowledge our own need for humility. We recognize our need to help each other through these difficult days. May our journey with you through Holy Week and our recent experience of the ongoing pandemic help us to see our world differently, to see our world as you would see it, and to hear the cry, Hosanna, by those who don't just suffer from the coronavirus. Lord, may this Holy Week be a time of renewal and new life to each one of us.